Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and two verses, verse 6 and 7. To the Hebrew, the name of God was holy and sacred and so special. How unlike our society who uses God's name so casually and irreverently. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor. This morning, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The first test of true Christianity is what you believe about Jesus Christ. Is he God? Is he the mighty God and equal with God? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Claiming to be God is not a common occurrence of this world. But Jesus Christ said, I am God. I came to show mankind what God is like. You look at me and you see God. He came as God to die for our sins. And the only way to heaven is through him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Millions believe that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where I am this morning. I believe that Jesus is God. Certainly, the Bible makes that claim. William Barclay said of John chapter 1, it is one of the greatest adventures in religious thought ever achieved. And it makes several statements about Jesus Christ. Go with me to John chapter 1. And we will begin reading in verse 1. The first statement that John makes of Jesus is the fact that he is eternal. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As far as the mind can go in the past is not far enough. God always was. To us, everything has a beginning except God. He always was. The Word is capitalized here, and it is speaking of the deity of Jesus Christ. Second of all, the Word created all things. Look at verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Whoever the Word is, created all things. Third, this Word is the source of all light and life. In him was life, verse 4, and the life was the light of men. So who is this Word? It's found in verse 14. John said this, and the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John said, I saw this. He is not just the firstborn. He is the only born of the Father. The claim is made by the scriptures that Jesus is God. Jesus Christ also made that claim. Let's just take a quick trip through John to verify that. John chapter 5, look at verse 17 and 18. John 5, 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. John chapter 8, verse 57. John chapter 8, verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said before them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not only I am, I have always been. Look at chapter 10. Verse 30 and 31. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus is talking to Philip here, and he said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus accepted worship, something only God is permitted to do. Others who shared in his life gave him the status of God. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into his glory. And of course, he was speaking about Jesus Christ. The Roman centurion at the cross, when Jesus died, said, truly, this was the Son of God. Angel said to Mary at his birth, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Let me tell you what this season is all about. It's all about those three words. Christmas is about God with us. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 said this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And he was right. Scriptures say he is God. Jesus said he was God. People who knew him said he was God. His life proved that he was God. Jesus did things that only God can do. Jesus walking on the water spoke to nature and it obeyed him. He simply said to that storm, peace be still, and it was. Only God can do that. Animals obeyed him. A fish with money in its mouth bit Peter's hook. Who but God can do that? He's never spoken to any fish I've been fishing for. Demons obeyed him. Physical illness obeyed him. Leprosy was cleansed. Blind eyes could see. The dumb could speak. The lame could walk. Death obeyed him. Many times he raised the dead. He is not only God, ladies and gentlemen, he is the mighty God. The one that simply spoke the universe into existence. The one that split the Red Sea. The one that caused water to come out of the rock of flint. The one that made a table in the wilderness for 40 years. The one that defeated Jericho, that conquered death and the Roman Empire, that brought down the Soviet Union because of atheism and anti-Semitism, and is chastening the United States economically today because of our treatment of the unborn. Economics seem to be the only avenue God has left that we will listen to. How long since we lived like the mighty God is in charge around here? Isaiah said, he is the mighty God. As the mighty God, he does some wonderful things. First of all, he forgives sin. Who but a mighty God could and would forgive sin? Isaiah chapter 43, please. Isaiah chapter 43. And look at verse 25. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Isn't it wonderful to have your sins forgiven, and not only forgiven, but forgotten? Second of all, he answers our prayers. All our prayers close with "in Jesus' name." It would be senseless to do that unless he is the mighty God. In the hospital, he is also the great physician. Third, he guarantees eternity. Any hope for life after death has to come from someone who is bigger than death. Someone who can say, Lazarus, come forth. And had he not said Lazarus, everyone would have come out of the graves. I need someone who has conquered death that guarantees a resurrection for me. And not only for me, but for my family and for my friends and for the ones in the last couple of months that have died. The mighty God did that. So who is Jesus? Let me make it more personal. Who is Jesus to you this morning? I want you to go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And look at verse 24. John chapter 8 and verse 24. And this is to every one of us. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Don't let that happen to you. If you're here this morning, never been saved, come to Christ this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to our hearts. Thank you when we can gather together as a church this morning that we know your scripture to be pure and holy and absolutely true. We don't equivocate on that in the least. Our sole rule of faith and practice, dear Father, is your word. Thank you for preserving it and giving it to us. The fact that we can meet together this morning. One of the reasons, dear Father, is simply because we live in America and we're thankful that we can gather and come and worship you this morning. So, dear Father, speak to our hearts. If we're saved, we've got a lot to do. Help us to be busy about your work, dear Father. Help us to love folks as we should. Help us to go and proclaim the sweetest story that's ever been told, that you love us and that Christ died for us on the cross and the Holy Spirit wants to be our friend and our comforter. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.